if these leaks want the cooperation of the Chinese government, they may have to accept that some topics are off limits.
A National Basketball Association tweet commits a foul in China. It's Tuesday, October 8th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the pattern of North Korea negotiating. Pakistan bags some plastic. A growing U.S. labor strike. Cats stuck in trees. And a controversial joker. It's all on today's VOA Asia. All-star American basketball player James Harden of the Houston Rockets has apologized to the team's Chinese fans after Rockets general manager Daryl Morey posted a message on Twitter supporting anti-government protesters in Hong Kong.
Yeah, we apologize. You know, we love China. We love, you know, playing there. I know for both of us individually, we go there, you know, once or twice a year. They show us the most important love. So, you know, we appreciate them as a fan base, and we love everything, you know, they're about. And you know, we appreciate their support that they give us individually and as an organization. So, you know, we love you.
Morey deleted the post and tweeted an apology after pushback from Rockets owner Tomen Fertitta as the club faced losing one of the NBA's most lucrative markets. The Rockets are in Japan to play a couple of preseason games with the NBA champion Toronto Raptors. In response to Morey's tweet, the Chinese Basketball Association announced it was canceling a cooperation agreement with the Rockets. Chinese star Yao Ming, who played his entire Hall of Fame career with the Rockets before retiring with injury, is currently chairman of the CBA. VOA Asia's Ira Melman asked an expert on sports marketing what all this means on a larger scale. He spoke with Mark Hyman, professor of sports management at George Washington University.
Western professional sports leagues are all seeking fans outside of their home countries. And, you know, all are becoming global in search of new revenue streams and new fans. China, of course, is an extremely important market to these professional sports leagues for a very obvious reason. There are 1.4 billion people in China. It's potentially the largest market for the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the National Hockey League. And if these leagues want the cooperation of the Chinese government, they may have to accept that some topics are off limits. And I think we're in a period where leagues are learning. There's a learning curve to kind of understand what topics are going to be, you know, draw reaction from the Chinese government and which are not. And clearly, Dale Morey's text, or rather Dale Morey's tweets about the protests, ongoing protests in Hong Kong, crossed that line. But again, you know, sports are entering a new, professional sports are entering a new phase where the fan bases and the scope, the reach of professional sports have become so global that they're in an entirely new set of issues for league officials, for commissioners and club officials to navigate. I think this is one example.
Well, now comes the controversy. The controversy being that immediately the owner of the Houston Rockets and the NBA apparently had something to do with the general manager of the Rockets pulling his tweet and apologizing, and everybody else apologizing to the Chinese. Now, from the U.S. Capitol come lawmakers on both sides of the aisle saying, wait a minute, hold on. You shouldn't be accepting money over human rights and the way things are run. How does that fall into place?
The NBA is a business, and the owners of NBA franchises are looking to China as a large and increasingly larger source of revenue. The number of fans in China who are rabid NBA fans is just amazing. The NBA Finals typically draws an audience on mobile alone of more than 200 million viewers in China. There are more followers, social media followers of the NBA on Weibo, 41 million, than on either Facebook or Twitter. So it's a business calculation for the NBA, how to preserve the fan base and its presence in China, while at the same time maintaining its credibility and demonstrating to fans and others that there is a social conscience as well. So it's a very difficult dance to negotiate for the NBA. I'm sure Commissioner Adam Silver of the NBA this is a challenge, and one that I think he's going to be facing increasingly over the years as he tries to maintain relationships with the Chinese government, yet at the same time demonstrating that the NBA is a progressive league that allows players and others to have a voice.
Is this going to be long-lasting? Are the Houston Rockets, which is, from what I understand, one of the most popular teams in China, that's where Yao Ming played, and now Yao Ming is head of the China Basketball Association. Is this going to go away, or is this just going to repeat and grow bigger?
I think that the NBA and the Chinese government will navigate this crisis, and that the NBA will continue to be available to basketball fans in China. But looking long-term, issues like this one are not going to go away. I mean, the NBA players and to an extent NBA officials are well known for using social media platforms to speak out and to share their views on issues. So it would not surprise for this to continue to be a source of tension in the relationship between not only the NBA, but all professional Western sports leagues and the Chinese government.
The NBA released a statement saying that the comments made by the Houston Rockets general manager have deeply offended many of our friends and fans in China, which is regrettable. The statement added, however, that the values of the league supports individuals educating themselves and sharing their views on matters important to them. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you make a visit to voanews.com. U.S.-China trade talks to resume Thursday. Hardline protesters resume violence over Hong Kong mask ban. Lost in translation, NBA versions differ in English and Chinese. Chinese naval training ship spreads goodwill while flexing maritime muscle. Vietnam's focus on luxury housing risks affordability crisis. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia, and we invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. U.S.-North Korea nuclear talks have collapsed yet again after Pyongyang angrily walked away, blaming Washington. But it does not necessarily mean the demise of the talks. Both North Korea and the U.S. have repeatedly walked away during the past year and a half of negotiations, only to later return, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
On the surface, it doesn't look good. North Korea storming out of its first nuclear talks with the U.S. in months. But it's not new. North Korean negotiators for years have tried to gain the upper hand by being the ones to walk away from talks. What is new in the equation is Donald Trump, who's already walked away twice from talks with North Korea. The first time, just days before his initial summit with Kim Jong-un.
I've decided to terminate the planned summit in Singapore on June 12th.
A few weeks later, Trump did meet Kim. But at their second summit in Hanoi, Trump walked out early on Kim, who had traveled nearly 3 days by train, an embarrassment that analyst Bong Young-sik says North Korea may have had in mind with its latest cancellation.
They want to take some place out of Donald Trump's own playbook, meaning that we're going to be preemptive. We got slapped in the face in Hanoi. So in order to protect the face of the Supreme Leadership, Ambassador Kim Myung-gil was really prepared to slap the Americans in the face to give the favor back.
Despite the posturing, both sides may have reason to keep talking. Ramon Pacheco Pardo, a Korea expert at King's College London, says that's partly because of Trump's troubles at home.
I think North Korea knows that for Trump it would be a political victory to present a deal with North Korea. And I think that's why Kim is actually trying to play hardball. And if we actually see the impeachment process moving forward, I think that North Korea would be willing to up the tempo and trying to get even more concessions.
Trump has said he may want a fourth summit meeting with Kim. But at this point, some fear Trump's willingness to meet Kim is handcuffing his own negotiators.
I think the issue here is that North Korea wants to deal directly with President Trump. He doesn't want to deal at the working level. That's quite obvious.
For now, North Korea says the next step is up to Trump. As the North Korean delegation headed home, its top envoy warned of shocking actions if the U.S. doesn't give in soon. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Happening now in Asia, Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan will begin an official two-day visit Tuesday to China, where he will meet with President Xi Jinping and Premier Li Keqiang to discuss bilateral ties and the security situation arising from India's recent actions in the disputed Kashmir region. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you along with us today on VOA Asia. A University of Georgia researcher reported that about 90% of all the plastic ever produced is still around, most of it in the ocean or the world's landfills. Its effects on the environment and our health are still being studied. To combat this rising tide of garbage, many cities, states, and countries are banning single-use plastic bags. Islamabad recently became the first Pakistan city to take this small step toward reducing this mountain of waste. VOA's Gaiti Ara Ennis has more from Islamabad in this report narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
As Islamabad begins a new era of banning plastic bags in grocery stores and other shopping centers, locals have mixed reactions.
It is always hard to accept change at first, but we are happy. It will be good for us in the long run.
Well, it's kind of a hassle. I used to come to market and buy things on a go. Now you have to bring a bag along.
When I came out to take my trash out, the trash bin was filled, and all the trash was spread out on the streets. No garbage bags around.
As per government's new policy, anyone who tries to produce, sell, or use a polythene bag is subject to a steep fine, equivalent to about $70. That's about a month's wages for most workers. City administration are now working to create awareness among the public that the ban is strictly on single-use plastic bags.
It's not a ban on all plastic use. Public is not fully aware of it. There is no ban on products sold wrapped in plastic, like bread or even water bottles. The ban is only on one-time use bags that used to be a trend. Now, you cannot shop and throw them away. Bring the cloth bags to lessen the waste.
Paper or cloth bags are now taking place of plastic bags in Islamabad. The new law is hurting plastic bag traders and businesses.
I do not see any point banning these bags when the alternative is not easily accessible. People are bringing in the same polythene bag from the neighboring city of Rawalpindi. Our sales have hit rock bottom. There are losses of more than 50%.
The city administration and some residents believe that while adapting from plastic bags to paper or cloth bags might take some time and be an inconvenience, helping cut down environmental pollution is far more important. For Gaiti Aranis in Islamabad, Pakistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Coming up, auto workers on strike. You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. Students in Bangladesh staged protests and blocked major roads Monday after an undergraduate was beaten to death, allegedly by ruling party activists for criticizing the government over a water-sharing deal with India. Protests broke out at several universities in Dhaka and the northern city of Rajshahi. See and share this story and more on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. At General Motors here in the United States are on strike. That's the largest labor action against the automaker in 50 years. It comes at a critical time in the industry as the economy slows and a major industry transition looms. VOA's Steve Barragona has more.
When General Motors filed for bankruptcy in the 2009 recession, workers took cuts to wages and benefits. Now that the company is earning billions in profits, workers say they should share the wealth.
They keep getting richer, but yet they don't even want to give back what we gave up from the get-go to help them stay alive.
Frank Lee is one of nearly 50,000 members of the United Auto Workers who walked off the job on September 15th. Lee has been a temporary worker at GM for 3 years, doing the same work for lower pay and with fewer benefits than permanent employees.
I'd like to be able to have the same benefits as my brothers and sisters have that I work across from. They get bonuses, they get profit sharing.
But GM faces lower sales in the near term as the global economy slows. And in the long term, the auto industry is facing an expensive transition. Companies are preparing for a future of electric and autonomous vehicles that fewer people buy and more people share. But that followed news that the company would close 4 U.S. plants to cut costs. Workers have started receiving $250 per week from the union strike fund, much less than their normal paychecks. Meanwhile, GM has lost an estimated $1 billion so far. But the strike could drag on, says Cornell University labor expert Art Wheaton.
GM is sitting on stacks of billions of dollars of cash. They can last quite a few more weeks without having any product being built. The UAW had hundreds of millions of dollars in their strike fund, and they can stand to be out on strike for quite a while.
Negotiations continue, but the two sides seem far apart. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
This news break from VOA Asia, the most recent South Park cartoon episode titled Banned in China, critiqued the way Hollywood shapes content to avoid offending Chinese government censors. Those same Chinese censors lashed back at South Park, deleting virtually every clip, episode, and online discussion of the show from Chinese streaming services, social media, and even fan pages. VOA Asia Facebook remains. Visit. Now in VOA Asia, most cat owners know that their domesticated felines still carry their ancient hunting skills. And while they can easily chase their prey up into trees, a lot of them have serious trouble getting back down. In Seattle, Anna Rice tells us there's a rescue team for that.
A cat stuck in a tree and unable to get down. Lots of meowing and a fair amount of clawing. That's what professional tree climbers Tom Otto and Sean Sears see every day at work. The two Seattle residents founded a nonprofit called Canopy Cat Rescue that helps bring cats down to earth, quite literally.
We do this more than anybody in the world, probably. And when it comes to cats stuck in trees, we're the experts.
Today, it's a young cat, Ava, that has been stuck in a tree for 4 days. The owners thought Ava would get down when she gets hungry, but it never happened. So the worried owners got in touch with the Canopy Cat Rescue Team.
Something probably scared her.
We're wondering too, you know.
Something must have chased her. We have deer around here.
Yeah.
After debriefing the owners, Sears heads up the tree using mountain climber's equipment. Risky, but worth it in the end. The two men founded Canopy Cat Rescue 10 years ago, and since then helped some 3,000 cats get back down to the ground. Around 500 cats were rescued in 2018. 2019 also looks promising.
Being able to get a cat down that's been stuck for several days and being able to hand it back to their owner, it feels like we're heroes.
Getting Ava down was tricky. The scared animal was sitting at the tip of a small branch. Sears was getting ready to catch her in a net, but Ava decided it was time to take action. Today, for helping save Ava, the men got $100. However, they don't have a fixed fee for their services. Sometimes they work for free. Other times, they get paid in fresh produce.
Sometimes I get a dozen eggs or a plate of fresh chocolate chip cookies. And I love that. Sometimes I get a couple $100. Sometimes the hug that I get at the end from a little lady who's sobbing is worth it.
Unlike their owners, the cats, Otto says, are rarely grateful. Their personal record, helping take down one cat 7 times. For Yuri Mamon in Seattle, Washington, NRI's VOA News.
The movie Joker by Todd Phillips is a chilling standalone character drama on the creation of Batman's arch nemesis. The film shows how a meek, marginalized man who suffers from mental health disorders is driven by society into a downward spiral, turning into a homicidal maniac. The strong imagery of the film and Joaquin Phoenix's visceral performance have caused security concerns for copycat behavior in theaters. Despite the controversy, the film has shattered box office records in its opening weekend. VOA's Penelope Palou spoke with the film professor, May Santiago, on the message of the film.
I have some bad news for you. This is the last time we'll be meeting.
You don't listen, do you?
As Gotham City's public mental health program gets the axe, Arthur Fleck's medicines and counseling are canceled. His work as a clown is a dead end, and he's constantly bullied by angry people in a gritty city teeming with division and dissatisfaction. However, Arthur is trying to live up to his mother's belief that he was born to spread laughter in the world, an expectation that feeds into his delusions of grandeur. But after he gets mocked and kicked one time too many, he fires the gun that opportunity puts in his hands. His transformation to the menacing Joker has begun. Critics are divided over the Joker. Some see the film as an artful portrayal of a man's descent into insanity. But many say the film empathizes with the lone shooter as a victim of circumstances and then elevates him to an iconic vigilante. One of those critics is George Mason University film professor May Santiago. She calls Warner Brothers studio and filmmaker Todd Phillips' decision to make such a film irresponsible after a slew of mass shootings in the country by men exhibiting behaviors similar to that of the Joker.
We're a traumatized society, and you're really going to throw in a blockbuster film, a film with millions, hundreds of millions of dollars behind it. I'm sorry, but no, it's not that easy. And with one of the most iconic characters in the cultural lexicon, you don't get away with it that easy.
In 2012, James Holmes killed 12 people and injured 70 during a midnight screening of another Joker film, Christopher Nolan's Batman blockbuster, The Dark Knight Rises. Smile, though your heart is aching. So far, Joker has won 3 top awards at the Venice Film Festival, and Joaquin Phoenix is already garnering Oscar buzz for his performance.
And usually, characters' motivations are so clearly defined that we're telling the audience precisely what to feel and when. And what I like about this movie is it's really up to interpretation.
Art shouldn't be made in a vacuum.
May Santiago says we should hold art accountable to our social values.
It's been less than a month since our last mass shooting by a white man, you know. That's just the society we live in, and until gun laws start changing and there's more of a monumental shift in American society, we should be defensive. We have to be defensive.
Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia is available to you every weekday, and we're thankful that you stopped by and took some time to listen to our program today. If for some reason you couldn't hear the entire program, you can catch it on iTunes and SoundCloud. Simply download it and listen to the program throughout the day if you like, or tomorrow, or the next day, or just hear our next program. Either way, we're glad to have you with us. We also like to thank everyone listening on the radio. Radioactive at Temasek Polytechnic in Singapore carries our program. We're glad you tuned in there today. We also thank our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Chang, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. That's Ira Melman and Keith Lane, along with our interns, Hayoung and Afra. Afra, by the way, streaming our program today on Facebook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a nice day.